Cup joy for the Roars in South Wales as Steve Clark's men make it into the fifth round. We'll cover that and plenty more news on the Tylersen podcast, episode number 48. My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetylersen.com, and I'm joined, as always, by deputy editor Johnny Williams. Johnny, hello.
Evening. Very happy this evening.
I can imagine. No angry Johnny tonight.
No, it wasn't last week either.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
It's the new era, like Steve Clark, new calm new Johnny. As you've heard, Mr. Alan West is back, the unprofessional joke of a podcast that he is. Yeah, he's had his holiday in the sun.
Thanks for that.
We rested you last week, like Raheem Sterling. We sent you off to Barbados.
Yeah, I've come back refreshed and feeling ready for the show.
What's your tan?
Yeah, that is a tan for me. English Rose.
And that other voice. Yeah, there's Dave Harris. I was in Handbags Harris joining us for his third appearance, hat trick as well. We had Rob complete his hat trick last week. Oh. Gonna have to get some more mementos, signed shirt, the old flag swapping, all that jazz. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Good evening, thank you.
Right, let's get straight into it because we're going to try and rattle through this first segment so we can watch the FA Cup draw live. It's about 7:05 now, so stopwatches at the go. Reading into that fifth round by virtue of a 2-1 win in Cardiff. We seem to like playing in South Wales in cup ties, obviously winning 3-0 there in the playoffs a few years ago. Dave, you were there, 2-1 win. Hal Robson Kanu, a hero, always plays well in Wales. But did Reading deserve this one?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I don't think anybody could argue that. They were a little bit tepid first half, but they still had the majority of possession and territory. By far the clearest chance, with the exception of the single goal that Cardiff scored. But second half was significantly more forceful, very much on the front foot. Created chances and deserved to go through. Cardiff had very, very little to offer. In fact, I would go far as to say that if they play like that for the rest of the season, they'll be clear relegation candidates.
Johnny mentioned his name, Hal Robson-Kanu. Ever since we gave him the prestigious Tylhurst End Underachiever Award on the show a few weeks ago, he's got a bit like a house on fire.
He's a reformed character, isn't he? It was a cracking finish from him as well, and it was sort of written in the stars, wasn't it, really? You know, all the speculation beforehand, returning to South Wales, his home, etc. Would he feel more at home there? And clearly he did. You know, he comes off the bench and he's staking a claim. And I think, you know, that is one of the tools that Steve Clark has at his disposal at the moment within that squad. No one, I think, in that sort of front four, no one is nailed on aside from perhaps McCleary for a place. So you can say to them on the day and in cup ties, go out, prove it to me, and maybe you'll get a start in the league next week. And I'd just like to come back to something you say about cup ties in South Wales. Let's forget about 2002 at the Millennium Stadium.
I'm ready to say about that. It's 2001, though.
2001.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't blame you for putting it out of your mind.
Yeah, it's too far in the past now. Yeah.
The back of Tony Rouget's head. Oh. Right, Westy. Goal for Oliver Norwood. Now, we've been saying that midfield is not scoring enough goals. And it's a rare set-piece goal for him as well. I can't remember the last time a Reading player curled home a free kick.
I think it's Darren Caskey about 10 years ago. But yeah, no, it was nice to see Norwood score. He's been threatening to. He's had he's got a good shot on him and he scored a goal at Huddersfield. So it was always due one. But like I said, we still ain't scoring enough goals from midfield. So hopefully that'll be a turning fortunes for us.
What do you make of Norwood as a set-piece taker? Because Bucks Royal in our five things that you can read up on the tylhurstend.com described him as a set-piece maestro.
Really?
Are you convinced with him?
No, because I thought the last home game, most of his set pieces were poor. Mm. But again, he's got it in his locker. It's just consistency, and it's been that all season.
Dave, what about you? Set pieces? Jordan Abit has whipped in a few, obviously whipped in the ball from open play for Kanu to score. But the rest of the season, convinced with him? Abit or Norwood?
Both of them. Abit is clearly a left back, isn't he? Let's face it, it's his strongest position. He's got player of the season there. Norwood, I'd really, really rate. He was given mixed reviews by Huddersfield fans when he came here, but to be perfectly honest with you, he's not going to be the sort of player that's going to go 100% flying into challenges, is he? He's a ball player, and ball players invariably can take set pieces, and I think he's more than adequate at taking ours. That he's going to invariably get a few wrong, particularly if you go in for a near post runner. 99 times out of 100, you're going to be ending up hitting that near post man, aren't you? But it's just that one occasion where you get it right and bang, you're going to be notching.
Well, speaking of the midfield, Reading had a new signing. I know, I'll say that again for those of you disbelieving. Reading actually made a signing last week.
Two signings.
I don't think we'll see one of them, but we'll come on to him later. The main one was Nathaniel Chalobah, signed on loan from Chelsea, former England under, well, current England under 21 international, who's played for a host of Championship clubs already in his young career, as well as a few Premier League games for Burnley. He's arrived to the end of the season, straight into the starting lineup. Dave, you wrote a, gave you a bit of a watching brief for him this week, and you can, again, you can read the full thoughts up on the Tyler Stem website. But just in summary, impressed with him?
There's more than enough to be happy with. He's still obviously very much a work in progress. He's a very young player. He's clearly got a quite insane level of ability. But there were some slightly worrying signs at times when his decision making, when the ball approaching, or of course when on the ball, and pass execution were not quite to the standard that you'd expect. But then again, he's rusty. He hasn't played a lot of football this season. Quite why Burnley took him on loan, I don't know, because they barely played him. But you know, say, as I've alluded to in the summary online, then there's a chap I know called Tom Dales. Hello, Tom, if you're listening. Who sings his praises. Watford fans absolutely love him.
Yeah, and we did a view from the town end as well, which you can go back and read on the site as well. We spoke to a Watford fan, someone from Forest and someone from Burnley. And while the Forest and Burnley descriptions weren't the most flattering, I said Watford fans rave about him, and they said Zola really got him playing. And obviously with Zola coming from that same school as Steve Clarke, he likes to think hopefully we'll get the best out of him. Johnny, is this a midfielder we've been missing? Because initially the feeling was, well, why have we gone and signed another midfielder? You know, you've got Guthrie, Karachan, Kuhl, Akpan, Norwood, Williams. Initially, that was a feeling of, well, why have we signed him? But did you see signs in this game for reasons why Clark's gone out and got him?
I think so. And I think it's, you know, it's very clear that he wants to make him sort of the fulcrum of the team. We sort of brought up a point at the end of last season, would Ledgett would have got back into that team at the end of the season? And I'm not saying that they're the same sort of players, but he does seem to have a bit about him in terms of he can pick a pass, he can make a tackle, he's got presence in that midfield. And you have to say that in that bunch of midfielders that we talked about, I don't think any of them are 6 foot or above, maybe Hope Pakpan aside. So when you've got Chalobah in there, he's a bit of a presence, and hopefully he can be that link between the defence and midfield, possibly push forward a bit as well. I was a bit underwhelmed by the signing at first. I sort of thought, do we need another midfielder? And the other thing is, he's reportedly on 35k a week, so you'd presume that we're paying at least probably half that wage.
Less than Drenthe.
Yeah, good job. We've got a certain lazy winger off our books, but again, we'll come on to him later on.
Indeed. So at first, I was a bit sceptical, but it sounds as though, you know, Steve Clarke obviously saw enough in him to put him straight into the team. Said, "Show me what you can do." And another thing is the Chelsea link. You know, clearly he's still got those good links there. You'd imagine that a few Championship sides were sort of sniffing around and saying, well, can we perhaps take him on loan? So the fact that we've got that link is clearly a good thing going forward. And maybe next season we might see a couple of other useful youth prospects coming in as well.
Yeah, and Westy, we mentioned him earlier, but Oliver Norwood pushed a bit further forward as a result. Do you think that could be a position that you'd be happy to see him play a few games in? Is this the midfield three for you? Chalobah, Williams and Norwood, or are you tempted to throw a Karachan or a Guthrie in there?
I think, again, it's because they've got so many options in midfield now, it might well be horses for courses, because there's plenty of options. And we said we've been struggling to score goals, and whether this will be the sign to sort of kickstart that, we don't know. But again, it depends where they're playing, because obviously Karachan will bring different tools than, say, Williams and Norwood, and Norwood brings different tools to Guthrie. Well, not so much Guthrie, but some of the others. So horses for courses for me, but again, I do need to start scoring more goals from midfield, and maybe this will be the signing that kicks on a little bit.
Yeah, the only real negative, and it's a bit of a surprise we're saying this after some of the slightings he's had earlier this season, but Chris Gunter forced off in the first half with a bit of an ankle knock. Steve Clarke immediately after the game saying he was doubtful for Tuesday's game at Millwall, but hopefully it wasn't too serious. At the time of recording this, we haven't heard anything else apart from that. But Dave, you were mentioning off the air just as we got in that, you know, and Chris Gunter was a player on this very show
scathing
a few weeks ago. You were having a go at him.
Absolutely, and he deserved it. No, he's improved tremendously under Clarke. You can only put that down to coaching. Under Adkins and McDermott, McDermott, he was far too narrow, very often out of position, left the wide man with far too much space to whip in across. Under Adkins, he was clearly pushed out wider, whether that was conscious or a conscious thought from himself or, again, coaching. But he stood off his man far too much. He was always 2, 3, 4 yards off his man, and it was far too easy to get a cross in. He's actually managed to get it pretty much bang on this last few weeks, where he's right up against his man, not giving him any space to move, any space to take him on. And very little has come from from either flank over the last few weeks. So fair play, Chris Gunter.
It's all right, Westy. This means we'll get to see your favourite Reading player, yeah. Stephen Kelly.
I see he soon got bombed out when we got new manager, which was quite handy. But now he's going to get his chance again. But Kelly, again, he never nails down a position at any club he's at, so I wouldn't expect him to do it here.
No, wouldn't expect to see Stephen Kelly in a Reading shirt next season with his contract up in the summer. But anyway, that just about wraps up talk of the FA Cup game. And we'll move on to discuss the FA Cup draw and the rest of the news bites next.
Reading News Bites on the Tarlhurst End podcast.
Right, welcome back to News Bites, this special live FA Cup draw. Although you guys will already know the results by the time you hear this. For us, we're reacting on the spot. I've got my back to the television, so I can't actually see.
This is a podcasting first.
It is. The what better way than through the word of podcasting, where you can't see what's going on. Anyway.
The inspiration for this, while they're going through all the numbers, etc., the Watford podcast, Chalobah, scored a goal. I can't remember
against,
what it was.
Against Leicester.
Against Leicester. It was on TV. It was absolutely sensational, and they were doing it live, and they reacted to it. So that's the inspiration for this.
You can view that goal and the view from the town end piece on Chalobah. But anyway, yeah, they're in the middle of drawing out the balls. Oh, Palace number one.
And Gary Lineker is just dipping in.
I feel like we're
this
doing
is thrilling audio.
That's us.
Number 10.
Oh, it's number 10.
Ooh. Predictions before Reading come out then. I'm saying Blackburn away.
Good, that's the two Premier League clubs that people will get through.
Derby away. I think Derby away.
Dave?
I think we'd rather like to get Arsenal away, won't it? It's all, there we go,
here's
Arsenal.
Here's Arsenal.
Ooh, the tension, the drama, the atmosphere.
I think we're going to pull West Ham.
No.
So Dave's hoping for number 9 here.
No, not number 9.
And it is...
Number 16.
Oh. Good.
Who are Middlesbrough?
While we're talking about it, do you want a home draw away? What type of draw do you want?
Yeah, let's be at home this time.
I just want a home draw.
I think you'd want a home draw against not one of the top sides, basically.
Well, the misses would probably like an easier game because it put me in a better mood on Valentine's Day.
It's another one we don't want to pull. Aston Villa.
Oh, Apple, though. I think we do them.
No. But Bournemouth, considering Bournemouth just got done up there.
That's all good.
It's Aston Villa leaders. You can tell by Gary's face. Gary knew he was number 11. He went. Oh.
That's more Premier League sides though playing each other.
Yeah.
Bradford still in the hat.
So Man United.
Bradford still in the hat.
Yeah, says Man United. Yeah.
Number 7, West Brom.
West Brom, here we go.
Fifth round in...
For the fourth time in 10 years.
Was it 5 years ago, Gilfie winning it? Or was it Brian Howard winning it?
So I've dodged him. Then West Ham.
Good. That's another two Premier League
sides. I see we're getting now. Derby.
Derby away, called it. All Man United.
Oh, no.
Championship side.
Number 4, Bradford.
Bradford, here we go.
This is the big one.
This is it. This is a televised game.
Is this it?
Do us a favour, mate.
Is this it for Reading? The dramatic silence here.
Number 14.
At least you've not got... That, to be fair, that's not a draw you want.
So now we're narrowing it down. I mean, Preston, Sheffield United, two teams in League One.
Take it.
Derby and Blackburn near the top of the championship.
Take either of those at home.
What's Lineker done here?
Drop the balls.
Dead air.
It's number 3, Blackburn.
Oh, here we go. This is my pick.
Miss that.
This is my pick.
Dodge that one.
Is it coming in?
Number 1 at Ewood Park.
Is this coming in? Jordan Rhodes.
No.
13.
Unlucky for some.
So we're now Preston or Sheffield United, Derby.
Man United home.
It's got to be.
Come on.
Got to be Derby away. It's got to be Derby away.
Number 5, Derby.
No. Dodge it.
This is my prediction coming
B6.
Through. Right
B6.
Here. Does this count in the prediction league?
It does not count in the prediction league, Johnny.
No!
Gosh. Oh, well done.
It's another dreadful draw for Reading.
Thank you. Third consecutive away game in the against Championship opposition.
Well,
so there you have it, guys. The most thrilling 3.5 minutes of audio you'll like to hear on this very podcast.
We're going to win it. We're going to win it the hard way. Let's put it that way.
Well, again, though, it's just like the last round. You get a Championship side away from home, and they naturally take their foot off the gas. That's exactly what happened to Huddersfield and Cardiff, because you won't get a big crowd in at Derby. They're going to find it hard to get up for that. Reading's players will go up there. They've already played Derby a couple of times this season. Nothing to lose. What of it?
And you'd imagine that Derby have bigger targets at this stage of the season. I mean, that's not to say that they're going to rest players. They're going to want to win every single game and keep the momentum going. But hopefully they might have one eye on the Premier League, and that might just be able to help us get a result.
Our next to last big cup run. If you remember, Reading got drawn away at West Brom, who at the time were, I think, second. They'd thrashed us earlier in the season, going great guns under... who was managing at the time? Oh, Di Matteo. Yeah, went up there. and got the draw at home, and then went up there and got the win. Sigurdsson, Howard, late goals. Mm. Brian Howard's finest moment in a Reading shirt. Not there's many to choose from.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is the FA Cup draw. I said, you're hearing this. It's a massive anticlimax for you because you've had 6 hours to digest this news. But Reading will play Derby away in the FA Cup on Valentine's Day. Right, moving on to other news bites then.
I think we can safely say that one won't be on TV.
No.
Yeah, I don't think that's making
it. It will be 3 p.m. Valentine's Day.
Indeed, enjoy. Nice romantic getaway. I swear we've played Derby on Valentine's Day before, away from home.
Possibly.
Anyway, I'm waffling. Speaking of waffle, Royston Drenthe.
Mm.
Can we? I feel like we need some sort of fanfare or some sort of celebratory music.
I can find some music.
Just
cue music.
Royston Drenthe has left Reading Football Club. Yay.
Aldi seems like he's been here recently anyway, so I shouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah, he's left on a permanent deal. He's gone to a Turkish club whose name I couldn't possibly pronounce. Typically, though, in Royston Drenthe fashion, scored on his debut.
And be sold within a year.
Yeah, guaranteed. I will say it on this podcast. It's in writing on the website. I guarantee he'll have a new club by the 1st of January 2016.
It fascinates me how other teams think they're going to suddenly change him. You know what I mean? How we can turn him into that great player that he always threatened to be when he was a kid. It ain't going to happen. I don't know why anyone bothers.
Unprofessional joke of a footballer.
He is an unprofessional joke of a footballer.
But again, and I don't mean to pick on you, Johnny, but I dug out what we said after Royston Drenthe's Reading debut.
Oh, yeah.
And Johnny gave him an 8 out of 10. And I think his exact words were, if he keeps this up over 45 games, he could be a Reading legend.
He didn't keep it up. Well, he could have
been.
Minutes.
Yeah. He could have been.
But this is it. At every club he's been at, he starts like a house on fire. Yeah, Everton started really well. Reading starts really well. Sheffield Wednesday starts really well.
That's what Johnny's done. He fell into the trap that these sides do when they're sign him that we can turn him into that 8 out of 10 player when it never going
to
happen.
Anyway, he's gone, and that hopefully will mean Reading have a nice big chunk of wage budget to spend on other players. I don't know if that's why they've got Chalobah and why Clark's talking about a couple of other players. So John Medeski was quoted in the Reading Chronicle this week saying, don't expect big deals to be done. There's not a lot of money.
Well, it did sound as if we had money before he went as well, because they were sort of saying we've got a bit of money to play with.
But not lots, yeah.
Nice, but hopefully this will help. If this lets us get another striker, I'm all for it. Another bit of transfer news. We signed Jure Travner. Slovenian left-back?
Slovenian, yeah.
Yeah. Who has arrived on a free transfer. He's been training with the club for months. They've just been waiting on international clearance so he could sign from his Azerbaijani club. Best remembered for his time up at St Mirren. And St Mirren fans had nice things to say. Again, you can read a couple of paragraphs from a St Mirren fan up on the website now. Just a functional left-back, isn't he, really?
Just a stand-in case we need one, I think.
Yeah, and with Guntrout injured, probably good time for the signing, really.
Yep. Again, I don't think we've seen much of him. And if we have, that means Jordan's been injured, so...
Six-month deal, no risk.
Yep, no. It makes perfect sense, really.
And someone who's got probably more of a bright future at Reading is Craig Tanner, and he signed a new 2.5-year deal at the club this week and immediately gone out on loan to FC Wimbledon and put in a really storming debut, by all accounts. The best thing about it was they showed... Before the game, someone took a picture in the dressing room of his shirt next to Akin Fenwa's. It was like, this lad's not very big, is it?
Yeah, one of them got shrunk in the wash, you'd have thought, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
You didn't know who they were.
No, apparently put in a really lively display. Faded a bit late on. Obviously, he's not played a lot of senior football. But it's great. He's a fantastic prospect. And certainly, out of the academy group, other than maybe Cool, I think he's probably... Probably the best prospect we've got.
The thing is, with that picture of the two shirts, if you'd never seen these players play before and someone said, which one's a target man and which one's more of a sprinter, you'd have known straight away, wouldn't you? There's a massive shirt there.
Absolutely. Well, it's nice to see him doing well. A few more Reading players going out alone. Obviously, Tishbola's gone to Hartlepool and he's getting good reviews as well. Again, you can catch up with all of that on our loan report, which should be up in the next couple of days. But... one more negative note. You want to speak of unprofessional joke of footballers. This is harsh on this guy because I don't think it's anything he's done, but an unprofessional joke of an injury record. Anton Ferdinand is injured again, guys.
How?
And we were saying last week that this was the first time that the whole squad had been just about fit, aside from Hope Akpan.
He probably felt sorry for the physio department. He thought, oh, I can't leave them on their own.
Well, this time he didn't even make it on the pitch before getting an injury, so that's astounding. He lasted a minute against Norwich. Was it against Norwich? 45 minutes against on his debut.
Didn't fall out of his Mercedes again, did he?
Fell off the team bus on the line.
Not much to say, really, other than, unfortunately, this guy's got a 2-year contract.
They can two-year
contract, yeah.
Well, he done well there. Lucky to see him for one of them years, I think.
46 minutes, So good effort, Anton. Do you know what's even more annoying about this is that he did look decent in those two games.
That was a good player.
And that's even worse. It's like if you sign a player who's got a bum injury and he's not that good, you're kind of like, ugh, you can just be outright angry. But this is just frustration.
Is he the new Jonathan Woodgate? He seems to turn up, play three or four decent games and then vanish.
No, he's not scored no goal and got sent off on his Reading debut, so he's done better than poor Johnny Woodgate. I don't think Anton Fernandes getting a game for Real Madrid anytime soon either.
No, or for us anytime soon, by the
No, he doesn't look like it. What would you do if Anton Fernandes does come back fit, which is a big if? Would you plug him into the team?
I don't think you'd plug him in straight away. I think you'd, you know, wait for an excuse to perhaps drop one of them. I don't think you can sort of change a winning team or a team that's performing well. And one thing you want at the back is consistency, especially after some of the defensive performances we've seen over the last couple of years. And suddenly it all seems to be coming together quite well. So I wouldn't plug him in straight away. You know, if the opportunity arose to put him in by all means.
It'd be nice to have the option on the bench, wouldn't it, to sort of kick on the defenders. Yeah, nothing to worry about.
The centre of the defence, obviously Chiloba can play there, but it's still looking a bit thin.
It's very thin.
Obviously there was murmurings of people like Robert Huth and things like that, but you know, it is an area you're worried about, because if Pierce does go down with an injury, then at the moment you're left with Cooper, Hector and Chiloba.
Yeah.
And not the best position. Mick Gooding always says on Berkshire, you can never have too many centre forwards and centre backs, because of the two specialist positions. You can't just
No,
you can't just mess around with them. Right, that just about covers News Bites. Let's move on to your tweets and emails.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.
Right, welcome back to your tweets and emails. Just mentioned it off the air. No pub chat again this week. We're a little bit short of topics, really. We've covered sort of the main ones. Over, I said this episode 48 now, so we've covered the old-fashioned best players of all time, worst players, bits and pieces like that. But if you have got a discussion you'd like to talk about, yes, for us to talk about in pub chat, just send us an email to thetarlhurstend@gmail.com, tweet us in at thetarlhurstend, or use the Facebook page, facebook.com/thetarlhurstend, and we'll do our best to get a discussion going. Also, just before I go in to read those, if you've got the time, subscribe to us on iTunes. Very much appreciated. It's the easiest way to get this show and the Podcast Extra straight to your mobile device or computer. However you decide to listen to us, I don't really mind. But it'd be nice. You don't even have to listen. Just download. We just want the traffic. We'll be honest about this.
We want to waste your bandwidth.
Yeah. We want to get ourselves in the iTunes charts. Because we don't get in there because I think 75% of you at the moment are listening through other means. And if you all listen through Facebook, we'd be taking on that football ramble, all that nonsense.
I wouldn't bang on it.
No, probably not. But we'd creep into that top 200 somewhere. Anyway, that's enough plugging. Let's get into the people that have taken the time out to send us in tweets and emails. And a big thank you to all those that have. We'll start with Gary Woodward, who said, the tie owners have been anonymous. Still not clear on Samrat's role. Do you think it's time they lay out the club's direction? Dave?
I don't think they're obliged to, are they? Long gone are the days where you have a single owner who's local and everybody knows him. There's not really much you can say on it as far as I'm concerned. That they are the owners. I know that there's stuff going on in the background. As long as the club keeps progressing the way it is, we are going in the right direction, regardless of what anybody says. Then so be it. They don't need to justify themselves.
Westy, how are you feeling about the ownership now? It's been a while since we've really had to talk about it, which I think is a good thing, really.
Yeah, again, if you're not talking about it, it is a good thing, because it's not good or bad. But like you said there, they don't have to lay it out. I mean, they can do what they want. They run the club, and as long as we're not going bankrupt and we're winning football matches, I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, the positives are that, we're not talking about selling players at the moment, we're adding to the squad, so... Yeah.
It's improving, so... I
think if things started going the way that things like TSI started doing, and the way things started going under them, then they have an obligation to actually turn around and say what they're doing, which was a massive, massive frustration with TSI.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when things really started hitting the fan with them, they shot off into the moonlight.
One good thing, at least they're not making a load of big promises and not delivering. Mm. They're not making any promises.
They're not doing the grandstanding either. There's not the... No. Link up with Formula One teams and with Galatasaray.
There's
and
no Medeski flag waving on the pitch either.
No, yeah, scarf and waving. Foreign around. FAs are playing Oman in a friendly and things like that.
And losing to Oman.
And I'm sure, obviously, commercial ventures like that are all good if it creates more money and things. I'm all for it. But I said it was all flash and no substance. And this very much seems to be, at the moment, touch wood, I haven't got a wooden table, but still, all substance, no flash. You know?
Yeah.
Samrat is a bit of a loose cannon. I think that's safe to say. He's obviously very fond of social media and
he loves caught
sharing
media,
his feelings. Yeah, but apart from that, I'm happy.
Nah, as long as things progress on the way forward, then I don't think anyone's really that bothered until things start going wrong.
Yep. Right, mostly Bobbins, who works on our stats desk, he says, if you could pick any up-and-coming fixture where we're going to click and destroy a team, which would it be? Johnny, I'll start with this for you, because this is one of your favourite ones.
I can see it happening at Millwall. I mean, we were saying off-air briefly that we should be unbeaten away under Steve Clarke. You know, we were so close to at least getting a point out of Fulham, arguably getting 3 points. And in every other game away, we've played well, obviously beating Cardiff and getting a draw away at Brighton. Again, they score in the last minute. I think away games suit us more at the moment in a strange sort of way. And I can see us getting a 3 or 4-0 against Millwall down at the bottom of the table, not necessarily in the best of form, you know, scrapping for their lives as well. I can see that happening on Tuesday night against Millwall. I just think that when we set up away from home in a slightly defensive mode with that pace on the wings, McCleary, Blackman, Robson, Kanu, whoever's out there, I can see us doing some serious damage.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the upcoming fixtures, obviously after Millwall, you've got Sheffield Wednesday at home, Wolves away, Leeds at home, Wigan at home, although that's been rescheduled because of the FA Cup, so we don't know when that's going to be. And then Ipswich away. Out of all those, if we were playing them on time, I'd say Wigan because they look very fragile at the moment.
Yeah, Wigan. Yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday on paper, Reading got a good record of banging home the goals against, but they've only conceded 11 away all season, which I thought was quite a surprising stat. So they seem quite a solid side, so I don't know if we're going to breach the floodgates there, although Wolves came to the Medeski with a great defensive record. And we ended up putting 3 past them. So,
is it actually the next 4 games a good opportunity to pick up a few points, isn't it, really, when you look at it?
Well, I can remember saying that at certain times under Nice Lackins.
Yeah, hopefully. But, you know, they're playing well. They're a lot tighter than they have been. And them 4 teams, I think, are beatable. So,
yeah.
Right. I'll take the FA Cup 5th round.
Yeah.
I was thinking that.
Stick 5 work derby. Ollie Allen says Shad Chalobah's wages have been spent on a loan strikers instead. Well, I don't think... First of all, I don't think that the transfer business is done this window. But if it is, gents, would you rather have had a striker than Chalobah?
If we were to get one player in, then probably yes. At this early stage, if you ask 90% of Reading fans, what one position do you think we need? I think we even ran a poll on this. We need a striker. I think that's patently clear since Glenn Murray has gone. And even when Glenn Murray, you know, didn't make it onto the pitch, we could not score goals. And I think that's the one position that we perhaps do need to upgrade still.
Rusty?
Yeah, we definitely need someone up front. Again, it depends what he brings to the table. I didn't see him like this week, so I don't really know off the top of my head because I only see him a few times last year. Again, if he's more of a dynamic central midfielder, then he can help the strikers a lot more because I think the midfield have been a little bit too slow at getting in the box and helping the strikers. And we got decent strikers. Like I said, we've got pace. We can catch teams on the counter-attack. And I just think that he obviously knows we need a striker, but strikers are expensive and you can't just go out and pick up good strikers.
Especially on loan in January.
For nothing, yeah. No one's sending out a good striker on loan in January.
I think it's pretty evident that Adkins went at the start of the season, was looking for some of the current squad players to take some of the load off Pogrebniak. It has to be said, when Murray came in, I thought that he was going to be partnering Pogrebniak up front, but he went with Murray and Cox, and fair play to Cox. He's top scorer now, I think, is he? With 8 goals, yeah. 9 goals?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Faded a bit though.
He has at the moment, but certainly someone needs to come in and take some of that burden off Pogrebniak's shoulders, because at the moment it's Pogrebniak that's up front, and certainly is struggling a little bit with that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, getting a striker would be great, but you know, as you mentioned, if we just get someone like Hal Robson-Kanu or Nick Blackman,
what's the point?
Or Gareth McCleary, you know, scoring 6 or 7 goals in the second half of the season, it's like getting a new striker. And Pog can find the net if you give Pog chances. He generally does find the net. I know he's a popular target for the Boo Boys. He's got massive wages. And yeah, he's not lived up to those wages. But generally, from what I've seen in Pav's 2.5 years here, you give him a decent chance, he scores. I mean, you go back to think, you know, the West Brom game, he scores the winner, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. The West Ham game, he scores in the first couple of minutes, runs through on goal and slots home.
I noticed with Pogrebniak, he seems to have a run of goals around January time. He did in the Premier League, he has done in the past. He just seems to have a run.
You think of that header against Chelsea, or even the header last week at Fulham.
Great goal that was against Chelsea, that header.
You give him
he has
service.
He scored some great headers. Yeah. He scored 5 or 6 great headers for us.
You give him service and he'll score goals. And I think the problem is he's just not getting that service. So I'm not saying he's going to turn into Messi or Ronaldo, but he can easily, you can see him getting, again, 6 to 10 goals the second half of the season. Decent penalty taker as well. So,
just going back to a point you made,
Where?
You don't send good strikers out on loan. Adam Lafondre.
Like I said, you don't send good strikers out on loan.
Yes, Alfie has gone up to join Neil Lennon's revolution at Bolton, linking up again. Well, actually, he's never played with him, but he'll link up with Matt Mills.
He's got Heskey and he's brought some right ones.
Johnson.
Good work recently.
Their strike force was like age 71 or something.
Yeah, he likes an old bargain, doesn't he?
Yeah. I wouldn't be against him coming back to Reading. I wouldn't start him every week, but I still think he's a decent goal option at this level. I just think, again, hats off to Nick Hammond, because he's got $3.5 million for a player that's been bombed out within 6 months.
I don't know how he does it, to be fair. He seems to get top price for everyone. Kitson, all these players that we sold for a fortune, they've vanished.
All of his luck that he never got as a player with his injury record is obviously carried over to his career as director of football.
Well, there you go.
Hapless Hammond.
Hapless Hammond.
For those of you who may remember the Whiff, good column, good fanzine, sorely missed. And if you did write for the Whiff, by the way, get in touch with us. We'd like to have some articles. And if you're a cartoonist, even better. I would love to see the return of Hapless Hammond. Anyway,
I want Colin Cheeselock back. He was my favourite.
He was good. The Kingsley Royal one was good as well. Enjoyed that. Right, anyway, enough of that. Nick Beckett says, talking about Turkey, what's the status of the partnership deal we did with Galatasaray during the TSI era? As far as I'm aware, I don't know. There's probably some commercial understanding going on behind the scenes, but
it doesn't seem like there's a lot, does it?
No. Again, it's never bad to have links with teams, but no. I don't think you're going to be seeing any Galatasaray players moving here or vice versa.
I've got Wesley Schneider. Is it Galatasaray, isn't
it? Yeah. Is he better than Hope Akpan, though?
Oh, I think not.
Royal Hoops. A bit of a funny one for you. In the current squad, who's the hottest? Go on then, guys. He's your Reading man crush.
Well, who's the hottest?
Well, 37.4 degrees, aren't they?
Yeah. I would have said Akpan if he was African Nations, but he's not, is he? So, who's the hottest? Who's my man crush? What do I have to think about this one? Probably the big Russian.
Big Russian Johnny.
I like a big strong boy.
I'm going to delegate to my girlfriend here, who likes Jake Cooper a hell of a lot. And Oliver Norwood as well.
Yeah.
And also she liked the look of Yuri Travner when he came in as well.
I've heard a lot of
No, I'll stop there.
There's quite a list.
Yeah.
She's picked another.
That's quite a wish list, doesn't it? Yeah.
I've heard a lot of love for Chris Gunter in the past. Chris Gunter? Dave, that's obviously one for you.
He's repressing it. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Now I think of it.
Bit of a crush. Okay. Want a voice before we move on?
No comment. I'm not getting involved in
this. If you want to share your hottest Reading player, tweet us in there at the Tylehurst End and we'll pass that on to the relevant footballers.
Michael Jilks.
You never catch him. Are you thinking I'd have a damn good try?
Running loops around him in Utopia back in the day, I'm sure. Anyway, right, thanks for that one, Hoops. Someone did propose a question of who was the ugliest Reading footballer, but I think that's just mean. I don't think you can pick anyone out.
Yeah.
Keown's not there anymore, is he?
Mike Keown.
Yeah. Of all time.
Of all time?
Yeah, I reckon. Probably he's got to be up there.
Terry Hurlock.
I don't know, he had something about him, a bit of a hard man.
Sounds like a theme in Westy.
People like a bit of rough and ready, don't they? I don't know.
Anyway,
one to think about that.
I think we're going to skirt along for that one. Talk Reading.
Mick Tate, he was pretty ugly. But again, quite a hard man.
Anyway, Talk Reading. Do you think a good fifth round draw would be a big team, i.e. United Liverpool, or a beatable lower league side? I think Derby away would be a great
Derby
cup draw.
Yeah, payback.
Honestly, I think this is the worst draw we could have got.
Again, yeah.
Borough away, I think, would have been worse.
No. I think in the FA Cup, this is what gets me. Fans of most clubs will turn around and say, oh, we want to get United away, or we want to get Arsenal away, whoever. You know, and I just think, oh, you want to get a team that you can beat.
Yeah.
And you want to progress. The whole point of entering a bleeding competition is to bloody well win it.
Indeed.
So just accept the fact that you've got double. They are a beatable team, regardless of our record against them this season.
Yeah.
In fact, Atkins' teams didn't actually score a goal in the three games against Derby. We have a superb record against Derby. They've only ever beaten us twice in the Royal County. They've only ever beaten us, seven or eight times up there in about 25 games. You know, we've beaten them something like 11 times out of the last 13 or 14, something like that. We've got a superb record against them. They're a beatable side. It's a real opportunity to get through the quarterfinals. Is it a bad draw? By that token, absolutely not.
No, I think it was Millwall got to the final and didn't play anyone. He was anywhere above
them. That
was the point
I was thinking about on my way in.
Again, they're beatable and they're going to have one eye on the Premiership, aren't they? So yeah. I think it is a game that Reading could realistically win, or at least draw and get them back here. I can't see them getting hammered, so it will be a close game.
Yeah. Also, dear listeners, if you're looking for omens, I've booked my wedding date for the day of the Saturday FA Cup semi-final. And given my record of things like this, this is nailed on that Reading are getting to the semi-finals. Because when I booked it, never in my dreams did I think Reading will make an FA Cup semi-final. And you wait, for the first time in, nearly 90 years, Reading will make it. And I'll be there, and I'll have to not pay attention. My dad will have the meanest look on his face, because I'm robbing him of possibly his last chance for a Cup semi-final.
That's assuming your dad turns up.
The RSVP suddenly gets changed.
There is a little bit of a story actually going back to 2010. My brother's wedding was scheduled for, funnily enough, the Saturday FA Cup semi-final, 9-10. And at half-time against Villa, I was in a real quandary because I was actually best man at my brother's wedding, so I couldn't really miss it. Thankfully, we decided to absolutely spaff it second half, so I wasn't too devastated.
John Carew's best game in English football.
I said
last week, a bit like Fabian de Freitas, he's known more to Reading fans than anyone else.
That's actually a complete lie. I was absolutely, utterly devastated at the end of that game. Really.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
I struggle. I rarely come away from a game utterly, utterly devastated, and that day was one of the few times that I was.
Reading do it all the time in the biggest games, don't they? They give you this false hope.
They're going to win
95,
it.
2001, even that dramatic comeback against Swansea. They always give you the hope, and it's the hope that kills you. Very rarely do we go into a massive game and just get blown away.
No.
So Mr. Akpan is now very annoyed with you.
Is he?
Yeah, the hope that kills you.
Oh.
Right, on that note.
I want one of those trombones, Johnny. Put that in post-production, please. Along with the celebration music. Yeah, lots for you, Steve. Right, and finalising, the final tweet we've had in is from AC. And he says, could you see Cool going out alone now, along with Taylor, with the midfield packed?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think that's the plan. We spoke about it before, that they wanted to start shipping them out. We needed them at the start of the season, but we don't so much now, do we? So.
Yeah. He's been exposed to first team football. He's got an idea of what the championships are like. Now let's get him out into League One or League Two. Make him make the mistakes there so he can learn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I said it. I think his last real game was Brentford. And he did make a bit of an error there. I think he slipped on the wet turf and he hasn't really been seen since. So it'd be good for him. As I said, this is exactly what he's saying about on loan. They make these mistakes. I remember Michael Hector making a couple of howlers last year when he was out on loan, or possibly the year before for Shrewsbury and things like that. Mm. And again, they come away, they make those mistakes and they don't make them in the Championship. So all for it. Right, and we've had one Facebook message from Ian Phillips. He said, Millwall have had 10 days since their last competitive game. The last time they won was 8 games ago. Reading have only had a couple of days rest, but have lost 2 in 7. What do you think is more important, a rest from competitive football on a losing streak or closer games but momentum? I think
momentum. You want the game to come on when you're playing well, which we are. Yeah, all right. We've lost two in seven. There's no reason. Just bring the games on.
Yeah, bring the games on. I think sometimes a rest isn't always a good thing. I think you come back a bit sluggish.
I think even when you're on a good run, particularly thinking back through history, I can think of the turgid performances that we put in after like a 10-game period. And either just about crossed the line or been thoroughly, thoroughly disheartened and lost the game. Well, happens all the time with us.
Well, Brian McDermott, one of the things he says and one of the things he pinpoints behind the whole Premier League season ended the way it did, it was that massive gap we had. You remember, we played those first couple of games against Chelsea and Stoke, and then I don't think we played for something stupid.
We played for a month?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, for 20 games, and we came
Chelsea
back.
Were in the European Super Cup, weren't they?
Yeah, and we'd played well at Chelsea, and obviously we'd nicked a late goal against Stoke, and he felt a bit of momentum, and obviously just completely killed off. And I think we came back against, was it Spurs at home?
Yeah, we did have the postponement up at Sunderland, which was quite bizarre in the fact that it was huge.
An August game rained off.
Mm. Yeah, but that's circumstances that we can't control.
Yeah, I think John Keane wrote a piece on the website way back pinpointing that Sunderland postponement and the reasons for it as being particularly bad. But yeah. Right, anyway, thank you very much for your tweets and emails. As I said, at the Tilehurst End, the Twitter, the facebook.com/thetilehurstend is your Facebook. And you can send us emails to thetilehurstend@gmail.com. If you do tweet us in, though, try and use hashtag TTE podcast because it means I can get your tweets in nice and easily. Right, just time for some Any Other Business.
The Tilehurst End Podcast. Any Other Business.
Right, welcome back to Any Other Business. Just a couple of things to round off. Importantly, two league games to look ahead to, starting, as we've discussed, with Millwall away tomorrow night. Trip to the Lions' Den, but a ground we seem to do quite well at. We obviously won 3-0 there last year, won 2-1 up in the year we got promoted. I remember Hal Robson Canoe scoring a stormer that day, Johnny. Mm. He also did next to you, actually.
Yeah, and last year as well, I went along. It was a very good performance. I think Pierce, Williams and possibly Pogrebniak, the scorers there, charging run through the midfield from Williams. I think a decent enough finish from Pierce as well. So
I think last time I went to Millwall, Sidwell scored a storming goal as well. It must be a while back now.
Yeah. Well, I said they're a team that should hold no fear for Reading. They are very much struggling. They're 7 points behind Reading in the relegation zone. The Ian Holloway effect hasn't really taken effect at Millwall this year. They came into the season with bright expectations. I think they started the season quite well. And then just faded dramatically. And they've had a miserable run. Aside from pulling off a couple of shockers, this is a game that Reading just have to win, isn't it, Westy?
Yeah, it does, because it would give us a nice gap then between the relegation zone. We spoke about it off air and said if they was to lose tomorrow night, then it may have a different perspective on everything, because it will drag us quite close to that relegation zone. But I really don't see Reading losing tomorrow night.
They've not won at home since October, Johnny.
No, I don't see that they will on Tuesday night either.
Reading are streak busters, though.
Yeah, they do tend to, yeah. They are on a terrible run, Millwall. No, I think
Reading, 3 wins in 24.
Yeah, I think Reading will win comfortably tomorrow.
Yeah, obviously the game at the Bellacy Stadium earlier this season, Reading racing into that 2-goal lead and then very nearly throwing it away. Holloway made a bold early sub and Nigel Adkins, as usual, had absolutely no answer to it, and I think Cox popped up late on.
And wasn't it Millwall last year where we drew 2-2?
They played us on the
10
pitch.
Men. Yeah, they played us on the pitch while they were
down. 1-1 Federici gives away.
Yeah, last minute penalty,
But yeah, I mean, they're a team that are getting thrashed left, right and centre. They lost to Blackpool. If Reading can't beat a team that loses to Blackpool, there is no hope. Well,
I'd just like to point out that Birmingham City lost to Blackpool the week before we went up there.
There's no
6-1 thrashing it is then.
Yes. There's no hope.
That was shocking this week, Blackpool going into 2-0 lead and then getting absolutely thumped, wasn't it? Where'd that come from?
Is it shocking or is it entirely expected?
It was shocking that it took a 2-0 lead and then they got thumped.
Yeah. Well, I said not much to say really. Team-wise though, changes, would you keep faith of that team that went up to... Obviously, Chris Gunter looks like he's a doubt with an injury, but aside from that, sticking with the same players?
I think he will. I think it's difficult to change much.
Do you start Canoe after he scores?
No, stick with the same team. Stick Gareth McCleary up against Sean Cummings and we'll have a field day.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Probably be on the other flank though, anyway. He'll probably be up against...
One of the things that I do think, if we do have Nick Blackman starting, and Nick Blackman was very central on Saturday. He was... Jordan Abita was running that left flank all on his own. He had very little support. So, by that, you know, if that happens, then Sean Cummings could have a fairly comfortable game.
Yeah, well, hopefully, I said Reading go and get the win.
They've just signed a new centre back. Have
Joss Højvild.
Joss Højvild. So that he might be thrown in.
Kasper Skjort scored the weekend as well, didn't he?
Back did. In action. Fear the beard.
But it was an header as well, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
From a set piece.
Standard. Standard.
Can I just say thank you, Orion? The fact that you didn't score cost me £250.
I don't think you were alone having your coupon busted this weekend.
No, actually, so saying that, it only lost me a fiver, but it cost me £250.
Yeah.
Apparently, 22 people predicted a 4-2 win for Bradford on a Scoop 6.
Really?
Where did they get that result from?
I don't know. There's
time travellers.
As always on these things, on social media, there was a post going around of someone had accumulated a slip, and it basically bet again on all the favourites, and he needed Bolton to win at Liverpool to win something stupid like 179 grand.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, the caption was like, pray for Bolton. Anyway, yeah, that didn't come in. Meanwhile, speaking of predicting things, prediction league time, obviously nothing has changed since last week's show because we don't count the cups. So, but this is money where your mouth is. On the podcast section with Charles on Friday, he went for a 2-0 Reading win. So he seeks to topple me and Johnny off the top of the table. Johnny, I'll go to you first.
You're joint leader of the table.
Okay.
Now.
Well betting against Reading in recent weeks, but I cannot see. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
Oh, plenty of goals in it.
Goals.
Johnny?
3-0 Reading.
Right, well, I was going to go 2-0, then I was going to go 3-0, so I'll go 3-1.
3-1. So, guys, once again, blame us when Reading get beat, because we've all predicted a positive result. Dave, last time you were on the show, you predicted a win against Bolton at home. Didn't materialise.
Just for fun, Dave, this one.
Just for fun.
Probably get more points than me if I had two goes.
Let's go 3-1.
3-1 Reading win.
We'll win.
Yeah, I like that one. Right, and then after that, it is a home game with Sheffield Wednesday, who are obviously missing Royston greatly, I'm sure.
Mm.
But again, they're a team that after a slow start to the season have really gone great guns. They find themselves ninth in the Championship table now. As mentioned, they've only conceded 11 goals away from home all season, so they're no mugs. And obviously last year they came and won with a dodgy, they got that dodgy early penalty where Pearce got sent off within the first 5 minutes that got rescinded. I was amazed it got rescinded, but it did anyway. Mm. And they're a team that have, again, just a sort of mid-table side. They could challenge the playoffs possibly, but
they've surprised me with how well they've done actually this season with Sheffield Wednesday. There's been a few teams in the league that have surprised me with sort of, you know, you look at the league position and how you would have predicted it beforehand, and you know, clearly they were rejuvenated by the arrival of a certain R.R. Drenta. But he's gone now, so
goals seems a problem for this side.
Yeah, they
haven't scored more than two since August in a game. But likewise, as mentioned, they've got a really tight defence. So teams like that don't suit Reading's play at the moment, do they? Because Reading are very much, under Steve Clarke, looking to hit teams. And this is the problem, certainly in the Adkins era, they had when they were faced with a team that set up 4-5-1, break us down.
Yeah.
Reading couldn't do it. Any more optimism, Dave, that they might be able to break down a stubborn defence like this?
Well, I'm just looking back to the game that we had against them up at Hillsborough, and we should have won. We should have won fairly comfortably. We missed a penalty. We hit the post or bar. And Jake Cooper had a header that was quite brilliantly saved by their keeper. So, you know, all right, different managers and completely different mentality. But we opened them up then with what should have been a fairly young side. So there's no reason why we can't do it now.
Okay, gents. Score predictions again then. We'll go the other way around. Start with you, Westy.
I'm going 0-0.
You are going 0-0.
Don't turn up. It won't be worth it.
Johnny?
Come on, we need to sell the game. They'll start asking for season tickets for next year. So.
Yeah, they're good for
2-1 Reading.
2-1 Reading win.
Good thing is about a 0-0 prediction is at some point you are winning.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a very pedestrian 1-0 win to Reading. Again, universally positive. So two defeats coming up here. I'll speak to Charles on Friday in the podcast section and get his prediction. But Dave, again, just for fun.
5-0.
Reading win.
About time we annihilated them again, isn't it?
We said just for fun. Don't take me.
It is. Right. Anyway, that just about wraps up the show this week. Just a few things before we go. Obviously, check out thetalisend.com. Plenty of great content. As mentioned, there's quite a bit of analysis and opinion on Chalobah and Joe Travnar, two new signings as well. You can check out full player ratings and match report from that game at Cardiff. And also we'll have plenty of preview material up for tomorrow's game as well as Saturday's.
It's difficult to have a song for him, isn't it, without name? Chalobah.
Yeah.
Not much that rhymes with Chalobah.
What do you think with Nathaniel?
No.
No. Wow.
Tweet us.
So yeah, tweet us your songs.
There you go.
Send us an MP3 demo.
Yep.
Perhaps we can have some sort of X Factor going on next week.
Yeah, maybe we can play it before the show instead of our usual catch.
Yeah, Violet Class, I'm sure, take a rest for a week.
Hmm.
Your Chalobah songs.
So, and that, not only that, hottest and ugliest footballers as well. Yeah. If you'd like to get involved in that one, I'm sure you would.
Champagne moment for this week, Westy?
That question is the champagne moment.
That question. Also, Pavel, if you're listening, Westy isn't available, I'm afraid.
Well.
But, you know, Valentine's Day, if you're not playing in the Derby game.
Yeah, he's just a big, strong boy. I like a Blondie.
Anyway, that wraps up the show. As mentioned, again, subscribe to the show on iTunes if you can, and also visit us at thetarlessend.com. Dave, thanks very much for joining us.
No worries.
And we'll check you all out next week. As I said, stay tuned on Friday for the podcast extra with Charles. Take care, everyone.
We'll check you all out.
We'll check you all out. All of you out. All of you out. Anyway.
We'll stick them all up on hotandhot.com.
Indeed. Unless you're Robert Huth. Right, anyway, speak to you later. Ta-da. It's funny how the crowds always leave.